Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Scott Jacobs podcast. Today, I was wanting y'all to hear a guy talk about a few things. He's a very smart man. His name is Alex Jones. This is out to him. So here it is.
Personal enjoyment in the fact that my research of the globalist operations turned out to be very, very accurate and, quite frankly, at many levels, prescient for what we're facing today. But I do take some solace in the fact that humanity is beginning to awaken and turn the corner and aren't just going to be a bunch of dumb animals that accept now the next phase of the New World Order, making us all poor, dividing us along racial and cultural and religious lines, and then reducing our population with forced inoculations, poison GMO food, and of course 5G radiation. So yes, my phone rings off the hook. I get constant emails. People come up to me on the street, they say, man, I thought you were crazy, but it's all coming true, just like you said. Alex, great job. It's not about us doing a great job. It's about researching history, discovering the eugenicists and the globalists, learning about their horrible plan, and having the courage and the will to admit what was happening before it went operational, so we'd have a future. Because the paradox is this. You think of it as heroic when you learn this stuff 25, 26, 27 years ago like I did, and then to go out and speak about it even though you got demonized. But that's heroic in the time
Everybody gets demonized nowadays.
When people can't prove what you're saying is right, because even though it's in the operational plans, it hasn't been fully implemented. But once it's being implemented, you realize this was not heroic at all. If you know there's this anti-human, exterminist, post-human, engineered global collapse taking place by the globalists, you would have to be incredibly brave and self-loathing to go along with a plan that's post-human. So there is nothing heroic going on here, other than the fact that I believe in humanity, I believe in you, and I know the models put up with the Club of Rome and Bill and Melinda Gates' funders are evil. Because these models aren't designed to empower humanity. They're designed to create a post-human system. And they're designed to put those implementing the models in control of who wins and who loses. They're not trying to stabilize the planet and have a future that's really sustainable. They're trying to set one up that is post-human, and they're trying to sabotage human development and sabotage new technologies from being developed that are clean and that will expand us into the universe. These people hate themselves, so they project their own personal hatred onto us. And they are literally like a crew of gremlins sabotaging the ship that is Mother Earth to all of our own detriment. And if they look at the numbers and the militaries and the systems going on, they're not in full control of this. So now what they have initiated isn't going to save the Earth, but a collapse is going to trigger, according to most models, a giant new series of wars that will lead to things beyond thermonuclear detonations.
Yep.
The only way out of this is to wake up to the psychotic plans of the globalists that actually created Hitler, say no to it, and be honest about folks, about the secret technologies of the future and the advancements, distribute these to the general population, and lift up humanity and go to the stars. Anyone that thinks they're going to dumb people down and poison people and engage in eugenics and then be given the deed to humans' future is a fool. You're going to be destroyed. You're going to be judged. You're going to be annihilated by the very cancerous, oppressive system you put in place that you claim was this guardian of Earth that did these terrible things for a greater good. We all know that the ends doesn't justify the means. And it's the creed of Genghis Khan and Hitler and Mao Zedong, Lenin and Stalin. I'm Alex Jones. I don't believe the end justifies the means. I believe truth and justice is the only way. I'm always excited.
See you guys. Things, like I've been saying on my last few shows, things are going to change around in America. I think the coronavirus is bringing in a new way of things are going to be getting done around in America. They're going to make it cashless. You know, we're going to have to probably keep this 6 feet distancing thing going. I've heard some stores already talking about keeping up the shields that they got up over the cash registers. There's a lot of places talking about keeping them stuff. So, guys, it really is about to get senile in America, and people are going to wonder what's going on. And for a long time, you know, people's tried to tell the government it ain't what they think it is. But what's wrong with America today is people trust the government, people trust too easy. You know, they let their guard down and they let the government give you all this money to make you happy so you're not seeing the bigger picture, you know? People just really need to start paying attention a little more. I know I do too, but dang. Things are starting to fall in place too much anymore, guys. You know? But, I gotta say, if this stuff goes down, I swear I'm heading to the woods. So if you won't find me, I'll be in the Blue Ridge Mountains somewhere. But, let's see, I was gonna let y'all hear another video. Here we go. This is about the Mark of the Beast.
Revelation that, you know, if you don't get this mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't be part of society. And again, it's not necessarily, it could be a tattoo or implant or a chip. I'm not ruling that out, but we've already seen, I mean, Alex Jones and others are an example. If you don't think the way that the elites and the super social media conglomerates want to think, you are kicked out. You are demonetized, you are deplatformed, you lose everything. And that's not even with a tattoo or a mark on your face or on your hand. It is the principle that if you do not think like we do, you're gone. And that's right there in Apocalypse 13. All right, thank you, Sean. Aloha, everybody. Welcome to hour four of the Alex Jones Show. And I'm fired up for this hour. I loved Alex wearing that non-threatening pink sweater, the camouflage of the Predator, Bill Gates. And now I know what I'm going for is Halloween. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to put it in my calendar just so I don't forget. And I'm going to hand out masks to everyone this Halloween dressed up as Bill Gates. I am fired up this week. There it is. I am. I was watching InfoWars a couple of days ago, and Alex was so excited to tell the story about how when Joe Rogan called him and announced that he was leaving YouTube and going to Spotify, and how he has Alex Jones in his contract and he's going to be one of his first guests, maybe even said his first guest. And I thought, how do I get to be a part of this InfoWars thing out of the blue, as Owen said, to get to be a part of your family? And the reason why Joe Rogan called Alex Jones first is because Alex was the frog that they had to throw out of the water so they could bring it to a boil. They couldn't get the water to boil as long as Alex Jones and InfoWars was in the pot. So they threw Alex Jones out, kicked some other folks out, they started bringing the water to a boil, and Joe Rogan saw what was going on. But he's a jiu-jitsu guy. I wore this shirt for him. And he's a jiu-jitsu guy, and he knows that when you're mounted by these tech giants, when you're mounted by YouTube,
guys,
you got to wait for them to start hitting you in the face. You have to wait for them to go for submission. Then you reverse the situation. And what a reversal of fortunes this week for us. This is big. And as I was thinking about Alex Jones and Joe Rogan, I think they're not in the same place on the political spectrum as this audience. Many of this audience is not in the same place in the political spectrum. But what everyone here shares in common is a commitment to freedom. We are part of different factions, different tribes. We have different political philosophies. But what we share in common is the idea that we're not going to use the power of the state to lord over others.
Right.
We're not going to threaten or coerce or spy or snitch on our neighbors because
like our government's doing.
Because we have prudential disagreements with them. It's a battle between those who love freedom and tyranny. Or as I would say, liberalism and illiberalism. but that word liberals become so confused. Traditionally, it means liberal, means freedom. It means the founding documents, the Declaration, the Constitution, those Federalist Papers. And illiberalism is the belief against freedom. So now in America, we have the illiberal left and the illiberal right versus the liberal left and the liberal right. People like Dave Rubin, Joe Rogan, Alex Jones. What's beautiful about this battle is as the battle lines are being drawn, is I prefer people who like freedom, who don't even agree with all of my little political beliefs and values. I prefer them to people who share my values, my faith, but want to lord over other people. They want to use the power of the state over other people. So the way I see things going now is it's those who love freedom versus those who don't. It's a beautiful, humane, gracious, magnanimous tribe versus pettiness, viciousness, cruelty, and statism. So this has been a big week for the forces of freedom, as Alex would say. Now, when you let me into a party, the first thing I do is ask if I can bring my friends. And if they, you can't, I'll sneak them in the back door. So being privileged to have hour four, I have a lot of friends that have a lot of interesting things to say. And so I got to bring them on with me. And for the first half hour, we have Taylor Marshall, who has one of the most one of my favorite podcasts in the world. And in the second half, we're going to have Father Frank Pavone talking about the FX documentary on Norma McCorvey. But Taylor, you did a great, you have a great course on the Book of Revelations. But this week, you scared me. You had me questioning myself, have I already taken the mark of the beast? Have a lot of people watching InfoWars already taken the mark of the beast? You did this powerful episode on your podcast on what is the mark of the beast. And by the time you were done, I think I might have already taken it. Taylor, tell us, what is the mark of the beast?
Well, there's been this big run-up because, Bill Gates talked about a national tracking system. He even said a national tracking system like the one in South Korea. And the Gates Foundation has been promoting this quantum dot technology, which can be used as sort of like an invisible tattoo that doctors can scan and get your medical history. It's kind of scary. They've talked about digital certificates. Fauci's talked about certificates of immunity.
America's about to change.
All this. And so people are talking about implants, and they're talking about, could this be the mark of the beast? And so I did a show on the mark of the beast from the Book of Revelation, chapter 13. What it is and how it relates to probably the most famous verse in the Old Testament for Jews. The most famous verse is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. It's called the Shema. All Jews learn this. It's one of the first things they learn. It's like their creed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with your soul, and with your whole strength. Jesus Christ said this is the great commandment. So, of course, we Christians know it as well. But then he says, Moses says to the Jewish people, you shall take this and bind it upon your hand and upon your forehead. That's what Moses says. Put it on your hand and put it on your forehead. You actually see Jews in Jerusalem, they take this verse and they wrap it on their right hand and they actually put it in a little box and they put it on their forehead and you see him walking around. I don't think that's what Moses literally meant. But we see the same thing in the Book of Revelation, where the mark of the beast is placed on the forehead and on the hand. Now, it could be an implant. It could be a tattoo. It says 666. There's obviously 6 is the number of man. 6 is evil. If you add up the name of Jesus Christ in Greek, you get 888. Christ was raised in the 8th day. There's some interesting things there. But ultimately, what Moses was telling the Jews is when you put God's word on your forehead, your hand, what does that mean? It's what you believe, it's what you think, and it's what you do with your hand. That's what Moses is teaching. He's saying, look, he's not saying, tattoo this or implant this on your face or on your hand. Moses is telling the Old Testament people, take the word of God and put it on your head, your forehead, and on your hand. Your belief and your deeds, what you think and what you do. And ultimately, that's what the mark of the beast is. Of course, it could be a transplant, it could be a tattoo, but the elites, those who want to enslave mankind, Satan himself, he's not so much concerned about a tattoo or an implant. He wants the entire world to think like him and to do the deeds of darkness. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, this sign that we see in the apocalypse is a mocking. It's making fun of what Moses taught. And it's saying, no, the beast is going to take the thoughts of Satan, put them on your forehead, put them in your mind, and the actions of Satan, and make your hand reach out and follow and do his deeds.
And it's going to be crazy how many people do it.
So, Taylor, you and I and most people watching, I think very few people, if they were like, go to the Apple store and get your 666 Mark of the Beast chip in your hand or in your forehead, you don't have to be a strong believer to say, you know what, that's a bridge too far. But how many of us have allowed sinful thoughts, evil thoughts, to penetrate our minds? How many of us have been allured or inspired or instigated to do works of evil? So as I was listening to your talk, I really thought that I have to do some real self-reflection and ask, do I have the shema on my forehead and in my hand, or do I have the mark of the beast on my forehead and in my hand?
Yeah. And it says in the apocalypse in Revelation that, you know, if you don't get this mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't be part of society. And again, it's not necessarily, it could be a tattoo or implant or a chip. I'm not ruling that out. But we've already seen, I mean, Alex Jones and others are an example. If you don't think the way that the elites and the super social media conglomerates mm-hmm. want to think, you are kicked out. You are demonetized. You are deplatformed. You lose everything. And that's not even with a tattoo or a mark on your face or on your hand. It is the principle that if you do not think like we do, you're gone. And that's right there in Apocalypse 13.
Yeah, no, there it is. And Taylor, when we get back, I want you to do another segment and talk to you about this. I saw a meme that said they can remove my post on chloroquine from Facebook immediately, but they can't get rid of child pornography. That should tell us something right there. Stick around, Taylor Marshall.
Right.
Taylor Marshall, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show, Hour 4. Alex just said as he was leading in, we have to fight the New World Order or lose our souls. And you have one of the most influential Christian podcasts on YouTube. When I asked you to come on to the Alex Jones Show the first time, I thought you might say no out of fear. Because I know that when I tweet that watch me on Alex Jones, those tweets disappear. When I mirror my appearances on InfoWars on my YouTube channel, they get removed. My same thing with my posts on Facebook. The reality is we are in a fight. When I asked you to come on InfoWars the first time, as a guy that makes his living off his YouTube channel, I have to imagine that's a big part of your income. Was there fear? Did you have fear that you would be targeted by these big tech companies?
All of us that are in this, you know, social media presentation, all of us doing this, we all know that our days are numbered. I mean, if you're not saying the talking points of the Democratic Party, your days are numbered. I mean, Alex Jones may have been the first domino to fall, but all of us are going to go. So am I afraid? No, I know it's inevitable. You know, is it going to be this year or 5 years from now? I don't know. But I don't think I was afraid. Or am afraid, but I do know that it will happen, and I just accept it.
You just accept it. And so there you are. You do the most wholesome kind of programming one could imagine, and you really live in fear that you're going to be deplatformed and demonetized. You've worked for over a decade, I believe now, building your presence. And meanwhile, the most vulgar types of child pornography can be found very easily through search engines like Google. I mean, doesn't that strike you as bizarre?
Yeah, it's a double standard. I mean, they have been hunting down our videos. Anything that has the word corona in it, anything that has COVID in it, anything that has Joe Biden, I have seen is demonetized either during the show or within 20 minutes of finishing a broadcast. They have already flagged it and demonetized it. So their algorithms and their censorship is so strong. And yet, when it comes to something that's gravely immoral, pornography, child pornography, they just shrug their shoulders like, well, what can we do? We can't do anything about it. So it's a complete double standard.
You know, you are a very serious practitioner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Martial arts is a passion of mine. And I will often watch the Gracie breakdown videos or look up for street fighting videos. They're very easy to find. You can find 19-year-old kids getting in a street fight in front of a bar. Very easy to find, right? My video of my confrontation, the reason I'm even on the Alex Jones show, when I filmed the Urgent Care Hawaii video, YouTube removed that video. They removed the video of me being arrested at the state capitol. They removed my videos just appearing on this show talking about topics that aren't even controversial. It's startling, isn't it? You can go on YouTube, you can watch teenagers getting in fist fights, horrible fights. And meanwhile, my little altercation, verbal sparring with the manager of Urgent Care Hawaii, violated community standards. It's very strange. This video is removed from YouTube. And this is as heated as it got. But if two 19-year-old boys who were out drinking and made a bad mistake and got in a fight and it was videotaped, YouTube would immediately remove it. It would never remove that. It'd be up there for years. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And then this video was awesome.
Anything, Jason, we put up that's pro-life, that talks about abortion, you have Frank Pavone coming on next hour. He is just a superhero in the pro-life world. Anything that I put up on that topic, when we had, you know, the big controversy at the March for Life with those boys from the Kentucky school with the guy in the drum, the Native American, all that, anything related to those things, anything related to the Democratic Party, all of those things get demonetized within, I would say, usually an hour, 12 hours, usually is what we see. And again, I mean... like you said, I'm kind of in the more wholesome. We're doing, like, you know, theology and philosophy and history and these kind of things, and yet it is a weekly problem already. I think it's even worse on Facebook, and then YouTube is also a big problem as well.
If you were a 19-year-old male exotic dancer at a club in San Francisco and you did a journal of your life on YouTube, would that be removed?
Well, they do have some decency standards, so I think it would depend what's in the video. But okay. As I understand it, YouTube is geared more towards censoring political statements than it is about decency. That's been my observation.
You're talking just basic, simple Christian theology, and every week you really have to worry about being demonetized and deplatformed. It's really unbelievable.
I'd say every third video.
Every third video. I mean, what you're talking about is in the 1950s, you would get it every church in America.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Yeah, it's just not very also controversial.
We're saying that...
See, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to go on and on and on. And I ain't got the time to let them keep going on, but one day I'll finish the rest of that segment. I wanted to let everybody know my podcast has made it to Germany now. So people in Germany are listening to my podcast. So that's pretty good. I appreciate all the listeners that are listening. Making my podcast go as big as it's starting to go. It's starting to get pretty popular. And I appreciate everybody that's supporting it. I got a Scott Jacobs page on Facebook called The Scott Jacobs Show. Look it up. Follow. Leave comments. And I appreciate everybody that listens. And I can't get over how my podcast is made in Germany now. But it can't happen without you listeners. So I appreciate it. I'm on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. I'm on quite a bit of podcast systems. And I want to give a shout out to Anchor, the app that I do my podcast on. If it weren't for that, it wouldn't be possible. So thank you, Anchor. So I'm going to end my podcast today. It's May 24th, 2020. I hope everybody has a good Sunday and
May the Lord give them a blessed day. I'm getting ready to go hiking, me and my old lady and kids. I love you, my wife. I love you dearly. You're what keeps me going every day. So, that's my podcast, guys. Thanks. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Scott Jacobs Show. I was wanting you to hear this message I found. It's an emergency message to the president on the force of the vaccine. And this is what I want to hear, some of the theories on this. You can find me on Scott Jacobs Show on Facebook. Add me. My podcast is on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and others. But listen to this.
President Trump, you have done two things recently that put you in the category of a globalist and an enemy of America. Now, some will say that you've made these moves because it's a election year and you want to take something away from the Democrats that polling shows could hurt you. First off, leadership is about doing the right thing, even when it's unpopular, because you know it's the right thing and you believe in the cause and that you can convince others to wake up and realize how they've been conned or manipulated. That is the essence of what a pro-American president needs to do, not just for the United States, but the world. And it's that leadership that we demand from you.
I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. We're doing very well with the vaccine. And I will tell you something. I just literally left a meeting. We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized, so at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly.
President Trump, you are crossing the Rubicon right now. You are already halfway across that river, and you need to turn back now. You are betraying common sense, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and your most ardent, staunch backers and supporters. If Barack Obama would have ever announced that he was forming a domestic military system to carry out inoculations of the population, there would be an uprising. There would be a civil war. And we have the Democrats and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation openly saying they want the public to be forced to take inoculations before they can get on an airplane or have a job or go to a grocery store, that they want us to have medical passports like we're in Nazi Germany in 1939. And then to see you on the news at the White House openly talking about the military being in charge of this. Well, this whole thing just reeks of martial law and the power grab that's ongoing. This is an absolute deal breaker with not just myself, but the American people. And my listeners that have given you a lot of leeway and who really have respected you and trusted you are absolutely turning against you right now. President Trump, the other big issue that you have failed on is allowing big tech cartels who've been caught by us and Project Veritas and many others working and meeting together to coordinate the surveillance of their users, in most cases illegally, of even our private messages on things like WhatsApp, on Facebook, to then ban and restrict people for their protected political speech. I know you've been convinced by your campaign head that, oh, you don't really need the grassroots of the people. Do you understand how humiliating that is and how humiliating it is that when millions of people get banned or blocked or censored that you don't stand up for them? People out there defending you and promoting the Make America Great Again agenda, in many cases under great persecution, take it as a horrible slap in the face that you won't come to their aid of the First Amendment. This isn't private companies that are just taking down the, quote, skinheads. That's how it begins. Now it's everybody. including medical doctors that own clinics across California who have viral videos exposing that COVID-19 is an incredibly overblown hoax that doesn't even kill as many people as the flu. And now a worldwide depression has started, and other doctors at Cedars-Sinai came out with a video showing how you were right about light therapy in the lungs, and YouTube took that down and said it was hateful and violated terms of service. So you've asked your constituents responding to Michelle Malkin to send you examples of this. Why don't you ask Donald Trump Jr.? He's been a champion out there fighting, but he's not the president. We need Donald Trump Sr. to step up and do this now. Whatever happened to medical freedom? Whatever happened to consumer freedom? They're even getting rid of the consumer reports online. They're shutting down citizens being able to rate things. This is a total AI suppression that rivals the social credit score in communist China. This is a nightmare system. And the people are ready to be rallied by you to stand against it. Ronald Reagan was a great president in many ways. But he allowed the passage in 1986, and he signed it, of the Vaccine Damage Fund that keeps damage from vaccines secret, and it's paid out over $4 billion so far to people who were hurt, maimed, or killed by vaccines. So again, Bill Gates is coming with a vaccine he says everyone must take. And we're all on lockdown, supposedly, until we accept it. That's tyranny. That's martial law. That's like a science fiction horror movie you'd go see just a couple of years ago at the movies. And now it's here and it's real, and you're going along with it? I understand that up front your instincts were right, Mr. President. You said, hey, people die. It's always happening. We can't shut down the economy. That'll kill way, way more people than what this souped up cold virus will do. But then you saw the fear, you saw the panic, you saw the blue states and the blue cities lock down first and set the example that if you didn't do it, every death was your fault. And we understand why you then for a while went along with it. But now the fraud has come out. Now it's been documented that they take all the regular death numbers. In some cases, folks aren't even tested for COVID-19 and say that they died from the virus. And all the graphs that Fauci and the British government put out and the Bill and Melinda Gates group put out were 50, 30, 20 times higher than what really happened. But now they tell us it's worse than ever and nothing can ever reopen as the third world begins to collapse and the UN itself estimates 135 million people are set to starve to death extra in the next year. This is a humanitarian global disaster. A depression in America is death in the third world. When the first world collapses, the third world dies. And if you come out with those facts and those truths and become the champion of the First Amendment and the champion of real medical information, and if you sideline Fauci and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that are putting eyeballs at the Wuhan facility, if you politically expose them and destroy them, it will discredit the whole rotten house of cards. We've done the research, Mr. President. The facts are there. They try to demonize you and attack you and get you off base to believe that you can't stand up and rally the American people to have confidence. But we do have confidence. We have confidence in you to do the right thing. So turn back from this course now, Mr. President, and be the champion we know you are for human freedom. Not just American freedom, but a leader for the whole world to follow your example. We need the strong American leadership now. Go after big tech for the racketeering, for the censorship, for the illegal surveillance of their users. There's only 170 days out to the election. You don't have much time to act. It may already be too late. Stand up for your constituents. Stand up for Americans. Stand up for the rights our veterans fought and died for. And don't put our military, that I can tell you hates all the vaccines that get tested on them, in the position of trying to go around and intimidate the American people that it's the patriotic thing to do to take this vaccine. Mr. President, these are issues the American people will not compromise with you on. And if you're just going to become Obama or Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden, then, Mr. President, we might as well just let them get into power, because at least then everybody will mobilize against them because we know they're bad. Don't be the betrayer of the American people. Don't be the placeholder for the globalists so that we don't oppose their agenda just because you pass on the head. Be the president that you were born to be. Free the Republic. On the censorship front, it's been a diabolical plan laid out incrementally from the beginning. First going after my speech, then going after all other conservative speech, and now they're shutting down anybody that supports you. Populism, common sense groups, folks who want to protest and demand our country be reopened, and medical doctors by the hundreds that come out and say that COVID-19 is an overblown hoax and a Democrat power grab, they're being silenced. This is criminal. This is organized suppression of the American people, and you must protect and defend the American people. That's what you swore an oath to do, to protect, defend, and uphold the Constitution and Bill of Rights. So, Mr. President, do your job. Don't engage in dereliction of duty, or you make yourself an enemy of the American people. If I was shelling you...
So, ladies and gentlemen, what did you think about that? You know, what is it? I know a lot of things Trump ain't done right, that I know he needs to do better at, like with this virus thing. I don't like how Trump's handling the virus about the vaccines and all that, but what can we do about it, guys? I mean, we're just one person. You know, I started my podcast to get the word out, you know. Whether I get banded or not, that's up to the government, I guess. And somebody small time like me may not get banded because I ain't got viewers like Alex Jones. That's who you were just hearing, was Alex Jones. He is one of my favorite news podcasters that I like to listen to. He comes out with good information and stuff that really makes you think. I mean, some of the stuff that he says is just wow. It's like, really? But people, I don't think things are getting better. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of a guy named David Icke. He's a pretty good guy, too. Here was one of his videos. I want y'all to judge for yourself.
Pretty much, according to what I've been talking about for weeks, in Britain, we've had the lockdown laws slightly rolled back. But as I've been saying, they're going to try to eke this out with... significant lockdown laws in place, and then they're going to stick us with a second wave and attempt to take us back to the full lockdown. So as little as they can remove, the better from their point of view. And so Boris Johnson, the British Prime Minister, who's been completely co-opted now by the dark suit Gates bureaucrats that are driving this, not only in Britain, but in America and other countries. And he's got all the language of the different colors of threat. And he's fully behind this so-called contact tracking, which is just a form on the totalitarian tiptoe of leading to total 24/7 wherever you go, surveillance recorded in real time, which of course they have in China, which is what this is all about, making the rest of the world like China, which is the blueprint for the global fascist communist state. So these are a few of the things that have changed, and they are very few in Britain, and this is going to be basically the blueprint for everywhere else. Police officers across the UK continue to have the power to arrest or fine people flouting coronavirus lockdown laws. It seems they're increasing the fines. From this Wednesday just gone, other restrictions will be, or some of them will be slightly eased. So England, this is happening in Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland are either staying with the existing lockdown or writing amendments to the English version. Wales and Scotland, it seems, are just sticking with it. The health protection coronavirus restrictions, England regulations 2020, have largely remained unaltered, save for a few key exceptions, this story says, which could have a significant impact on relaxing restrictions on the movement of the public. Like I say, and like I've said from the start, they'll roll it back as little as they can, waiting for a second wave to come in, which they are creating, just like the bloody first wave. So other part of it is that Johnson and the dark suits that control him saying he will have the right at any time to impose full lockdown again, which is exactly in line with what I've been saying the game was. And okay, so how, if you're a business that's trying to survive in this calculated attempt to destroy you, how can you commit any investment in staying alive when you don't know if tomorrow full lockdown comes back and it's all over for you again? How do you know that? How can you do that? You can't, and that's the idea. This is an attempt to destroy the independent income of the population. So now we're being told that people can, quote, work out within one person from another household, as well as on your own with members of your own household. Now, see, what is happening here is it's a psychological psyop on the human psyche. And what they're giving you is very detailed rules of what you can and cannot do. And they're basically building this acquiescence where everyone is constantly on guard for breaking these rules. You see this when you're walking down the street and people just veer away from you to keep the 6 foot 2 meters. What I do, I walk down the street in the way I always walk down the street. And if people want to veer away from me, well, they can. But I ain't going to veer away from them, because I don't fear them at all. So if they want to veer away from me, well, they can do that. But I'm not doing it. Because if you concede to stupid, you become stupid. And I will not do that. So now we can work out with one person from another household, not two. So if you work out with one person from another household and you keep 6 feet apart from them, which is an arbitrary, made-up, psychological motivation rule, how are you in any more danger, or how are they in any more danger by two people from another household being 6 feet away from you, as they would be if you walked down the street? There is no rhyme or reason for it, because it's not about protecting health. They know there's not a danger. That's why, you know, you see that the people in authority are breaking their own lockdown rules all the time, their own social distancing rules. This is not about protecting health. This is about a psychological manipulation of the population to drive us apart, to make us fearful of each other, to stop human interaction. Another reason for the mass nonsense. And to get us, like domestic animals to do as we're told in fine detail. Oh no, you're having exercise with two people from another household. It's not allowed. We've had this complete prat, Matt Hancock, the UK Health Secretary, who you wouldn't trust to run a whelk store. I mean, a completely unimpressive man. And he's come out this week and said that British people will not be, should not hug each other if they're from another household until we have a vaccine. Well, you know, up yours, Hancock, where the sun don't shine. And this is the common theme everywhere you look with these people, until there's a vaccine, which is what the punchline of this has been all along. Whether moronic people like Hancock know that it's all a scam, well, who knows? But the people who are driving him, which is almost everybody except him, will absolutely know what the scam is, because they're connected to Gates, who's running the scam. Where can I go is another question in this article about these new lockdown rules in Britain. We can go to an open space for the purposes of open air recreation to promote physical or mental health or emotional well-being alone or with their household or with one member of another household, as this is now also classed as a reasonable excuse to leave the house. Note the wording there. Classed as a reasonable excuse to leave your house. A little message to these psychopaths and idiots, which is the combination that's behind all this. The psychopaths drive the rules, the idiots enforce them and announce them. You do not grant me my freedom. Pratt Hancock does not grant me my freedom. I am infinite awareness, all that is, has been, and ever can be, all potential, all possibility, having a brief experience in this bloody madhouse. You, Pratt Hancock, Boris Johnson, Fauci, Burks, Witty, strange looking man in this country, the chief medical officer, you do not grant me my freedom. I am free. The law defines public open spaces as public gardens, open country, and access land in the countryside where there are rights of way. And now there are no limitations on business, you can travel, or geographical restrictions, as there were before. But all the time, you have this in the background. If the figures go up, lockdown comes back. And who controls the figures, given there is no virus? They do. So, can I go out for a drive? Is it all right if I go out for a drive, Pratt Hancock? Yes. This was never banned under the laws, even though ministers had previously advised against it. And you know what was happening? Even though it wasn't against the law, and was just an advice from these psychopaths and idiots, the police were enforcing it as if it's the law. Where are you going? Where are you driving? It's none of your bloody business. oh, it is, it's the law. Well, actually, it's not. Although government advice was to exercise once a day, the law has never actually prohibited how many times you could leave your house or exercise, and this remains the case. Here we go again. It was never the law that you shouldn't leave your house more than once. That's why I've been leaving the house as many times as I bloody choose, thank you. But it was a recommendation which has been imposed by the police illegally as a law.
Illegally.
And, you know, people need to watch this very, very carefully and get informed about what is the law and what is a government recommendation by the Pratt and Cox of this world. Because the latter is not enforceable by law and not enforceable by the police, even though they've been doing so. Apparently, says this article, you can start your house hunt again. Oh, thank you. These people are so kind. They're telling me I can go look for another house. They're very reasonable, aren't they? What this lockdown has done to the housing market, however, will be catastrophic. The change to the law now says it is permitted to undertake any of the following activities in connection with purchase, sale, letting, or rental of a residential property. You can visit an estate agent or a letting agent, a developer sales offices or show homes, review residential properties to look for a property to buy or rent. Well, that's very good of them, isn't it? Sports courts and garden centres have been added to the list of locations and businesses like parks, supermarkets, hardware stores, and post offices, which are allowed to stay open, albeit with restrictions. And social distancing. Neither the original regulations or the amended legislation addressed social distancing. So keeping 2 meters, 6 feet apart. Wait for this one, was never a legal requirement. It's another recommendation. The government strongly advises, these are the Pratt and Cox, the psychopaths and idiots, have strongly advised the public to keep social distancing wherever possible with those not in their household to help prevent the spread of the virus. Well, first of all, prove to me the virus exists, because you never have. This may raise questions over whether police officers can enforce this by law or fine those who have not complied. So all this social distancing imposition has been a government recommendation with no legality or enforcement by law. How many people know that? Oh no, well, you can't keep social distance. Why? Even the government advisor said it was pulled out of nowhere. Conjured out of nowhere was his phrase, with no scientific backing. Well, you can't do it because Pratt and Cox says. Has anything changed for the police? Yes. The fines they can issue are higher in England, now starting at £100, reduced to £50 if paid within 14 days. It's like a car fine for parking. The fine doubles to £200 for a second and subsequent offences to a maximum of £3,200. Action by officers is still expected to be necessary and proportionate, but it hasn't been so far in many places. How long do the rules last? Emergency law needs to be reviewed at least once every 21 days and remain in place until scrapped by the government. Ultimately, they can expire after 6 months of additional introduction if not renewed. If they are renewed, they can go on indefinitely, which is the idea, until they have this legendary Gates vaccine. Can anyone name me a vaccine for a coronavirus that's ever been brought into use? And you would think, therefore, it's going to be a long wait for this vaccine. The vaccine will be existed before this whole scam was played, and thus it will be remarkably short in how long it takes for the vaccine. But in the meantime, while they're holding this back, winding people up, they'll have their other waves and other impositions, because this is a play. This is the play. This is the run for home of this cult. Peter Hitchens, who writes for the Mail on Sunday in Britain, has been the one mainstream journalist who's called out this crap. And he described it very well in his last column. The headline was, "Has our mad mass house arrest during COVID-19 saved even a single life?" But if you compare it with Sweden, it's been not under lockdown. Well, the answer to that is no. Even if you accept the virus exists, which I have not for a long time. "We will not," this is what Hitchens writes, "we will not escape from this misery until the government has been forced to admit that it has made a foolish mistake and overreacted wildly to COVID-19. And this is a great description. The Prime Minister is like a man who sets fire to his own pajamas while he's still wearing them to cure himself of hiccups. Now he stands naked and scorched as his house burns around him and exults that his hiccups have indeed gone away. This is what I mean by getting things out of proportion. Above all, he must stop pretending that his actions have saved us from deaths that never happened, and people must stop believing this evidence-free bilge. Till that moment comes," Hitchens writes, "months, perhaps years, of costly, painful stupidity will follow. The belief that the panic policy worked means it can never fully end. If and when you go back to your job, if you still have a job, you will be compelled to abide by ludicrous, impractical rules. You will be forced to wear pointless muzzles on trains and buses. Normal life will be virtually impossible. Previous actions will be endlessly complicated and expensive. And while this farce continues, businesses will continue to close and jobs continue to vanish, visiting misery and sickness on millions. I've seen this before," he said, "in the old communist world, a mad fixed idea pursued by dense men relentlessly and without opposition or thought until the whole thing collapses or explodes. This is exactly what the plan is. It is being used for three things. One, to destroy the independent livelihoods of the population so they become dependent on the state. That must do what the state says. Two, to create a Chinese-like and then some surveillance state. And three, get a vaccine into every man, woman, and child on the planet, which is designed through nanotechnology to connect people to the smart grid, technological 5G, 6G, 7G, technological sub-reality that they're creating. And it is so blatantly obvious to anyone with a mind of their own that the policy in reaction to this alleged virus is so over the top, it's breathtaking. And yet, so many still haven't seen it. and they stand there, mask on mouth, 6 feet apart from everybody. Do you know, guys, Gareth sent me a couple of pictures this morning that were posted on Twitter, and it was, it almost breaks your heart, to be honest. One was a picture of little kids in a playground, and they were all 6 feet apart, standing in chalk boxes, chalked on the playground. And they were all 6 feet apart, and they couldn't leave the boxes. And there was another one of parents, all in masks, which are bloody useless because the holes are bigger than the viral particles, even if there was a virus. And there are crosses on the floor outside the school classroom, 6 feet apart, where their kids have to stand waiting for their parents to come and collect them. And what this is doing, because it's all a psychological game, the whole thing's a psyop. It's rewiring human perception and human reaction and turning humans against each other. See, when you look at the foundations and the goals of the human-caused climate hoax, run by the same people that are running the virus hoax, then you see the same goals and the same messages. What is the message of the climate cult? Humans are dangerous. Some of their most extreme, beyond mindless people are saying that the human race should be made extinct. Save the planet. Which is kind of a strange, well, because they're all bloody strange. It's a strange logic that we must do this to save humanity from climate change. And the way to do it is to remove humanity from the planet. But these people are nothing if not clinically insane. They're real extreme ones. And what is the message that this pandemic hoax is giving people? In an even more in-your-face profound way, humans are dangerous. You must be suspicious of anyone, any other human that comes near you. And you must stay 6 feet away from them because they're dangerous. You must wear a mask because they're dangerous. And what they're doing is they're driving humanity apart because they want to connect humans to technology. Why you've got all these devices like the personal assistants where people are interacting with artificial intelligence as if it's human.
Oh, tell me this, Alexa.
Oh, God. Anyway, and while they are fusing human psychology with machines through AI interaction, they're driving human-human interaction apart. And what is the means now through which humanity overwhelmingly communicates with each other? Via technology, via AI technology. And this is all part of a greater psychological plan that's unfolding. To see little kids standing in boxes in playgrounds, not allowed to interact with the other kids standing in their boxes. See them standing on X's, 6 feet apart, so until their mothers or parents arrive. It's just disgusting. And what is it doing from the earliest age now? it's driving kids apart.
So, guys, what did you think about that? Now, that was David Icke's piece on what he thinks. You know, and I kind of agree with a lot of things he had to say. He's a very smart man. But the world is changing every day. You know, the social distancing and everything is making it change. It is crazy how the world is changing, everybody. I just wished there was a way people could just change things and go back to the way things was. But that was my latest today's podcast. I hope y'all enjoyed hearing a little bit of intel. Hopefully it enlightened you. If it did, that's good. I got a Facebook page show you can go to. It's Scott Jacobs Show. I'll leave comments. You know, if email me at scottjacobs84@icloud.com. Email me comments. Email me videos if you like a video to be played on my show. I get my description on it. So, have a nice day, everybody. Bye. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scott Jacobs Show. I was wanting to go over the vaccine a little bit and let you hear a piece that I found on a vaccine and judge it for yourself. But here it is. If it'll play, hold on. There we go.
Bill Gates says the only way to liberate the world from their self-quarantine is to be vaccinated.
The most urgent invention in the world right now is a vaccine that prevents you from getting COVID-19. It's going to have to go to 7 billion people. That's how we're going to end this pandemic.
President Trump has chosen a former executive of vaccine giant GlaxoSmithKline to run Operation Warp Speed, an operation to fast-track a vaccine for COVID-19. Trump has announced that he is mobilizing the U.S. military to deliver a coronavirus vaccine when it's ready.
I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. We're doing very well with a vaccine. And I will tell you something. I just literally left a meeting. We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized. So at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly.
According to the Department of Defense, they will have enough vaccines for everyone in America. HR 6666 is setting up a national contact tracer army.
We need a national core of healthy people who are properly trying to go out and do this contact tracing.
911, what's your emergency?
Hi, yeah. I got a couple handshakers right in front of me.
Okay, sir, are they still in the vicinity?
Yeah, I'm staring at them right now.
Bill Gates is given a platform in communist China to defend himself.
I'd say it's ironic if you take somebody who's doing their best to get the world ready and, you know, putting, in my case, billions of dollars into these tools for infectious diseases. we're in a crazy situation, so there's going to be crazy rumors.
Former intelligence officer Jack Posobiec defends Bill Gates and encourages his Twitter followers to focus on China. And Senator Lindsey Graham repeats this sentiment as well, going so far as to say he would hire Bill Gates to run the WHO and double their funding.
I'm in charge of the appropriations over the WHO, at least a part of it. And what I want is see a change of leadership, because I think they conspired with China to downplay the nature of the virus. The WHO has great scientists, but it's lost confidence. I've lost confidence in the leadership. So a guy like Bill Gates, if Bill Gates was in charge of the WHO, I would double the funding, because I think we need a WHO, but he's not.
The vaccine they are planning to give everyone on Earth is an experimental mRNA vaccine that will alter our DNA forever. And if this experimental vaccine actually works, it will be the first ever in history to do so. Welcome to the New World Order.
And you pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the New World Order and good governance.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Ladies and gentlemen, what did y'all think about that? I mean, what if this stuff is real? What if stuff like this is happening? I mean, really, why is it such a concern to Bill Gates? I really would love to know. You know, I wish I was that man just so I knew what he was thinking. It's crazy how the world turns. It really is. You know, if I could go back in time, I wish I lived in a time where it was just swords and buggies. All you had to worry about was staying the hell alive, you know, provide for your family, all that. It wasn't like what it is today. But here's another piece on the vaccine.
In 1796, Edward Jenner extracted a small sample of an infected child's smallpox pustule and injected it into a young, healthy boy. He then gave the boy a large dose of smallpox, and the boy remained healthy. Jenner concluded that the risky treatment had granted the child miraculous immunity. But that's how the immune system works already. So what granted the child immunity? His healthy immune system? Or the injection of foreign infectious tissue? The science is not conclusive. Smallpox spread as a result of European colonization, and it slowed as herd immunity set in. This timeline coincides with the introduction of the smallpox vaccine. Was it the vaccine, or was it natural herd immunity? In some cases, the smallpox vaccine resulted in immunity. In others, it resulted in death. It also created smallpox outbreaks where there were none. The 1902 Biologics Control Act classified vaccines as biologics. This allowed the U.S. government a loophole to bypass stringent testing and fast-track vaccines. Ever since then, vaccines get approved once they produce antibodies. And to this day, the efficacy tests are done on the general population after the vaccines are distributed to the public. The Nazis were experimenting with vaccines on the German people, and the U.S. decreed this to be a war crime when they signed the Nuremberg Charter after the war. And yet, the practice of experimenting on the public with dangerous vaccines continues to grow in America. In April of 1955, known today as the Cutter Incident, more than 200,000 healthy children in the USA received a polio vaccine that resulted in 40,000 cases of polio, leaving 200 children with paralysis and killing 10. Today, the majority of polio is caused by the polio vaccine. By the 1980s, vaccine manufacturers were losing money due to the amount of lawsuits they were paying out to victims of death and disease caused by vaccines. It was well understood that negative reactions and fatality were unavoidable consequences of vaccines, and so they were given legal liability protection. In 1986, the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act was passed by Congress to protect vaccine manufacturers from private lawsuits and to create a fund to compensate victims of vaccine damage and death. In legal theory, vaccines are recognized as being unavoidably unsafe. After the NCVIA passed, there was zero consequence to the vaccine manufacturers if their products killed or harmed the public. This created a gold rush for vaccine companies. A new vaccine accepted onto the CDC schedule is worth about $1 billion a year for the manufacturer. In the early 1980s, children received three vaccines. In the decades following the implementation of the NCVIA, the CDC has increased their childhood vaccine schedule to almost 6 dozen doses. During this same timeline, diseases began spiking, such as peanut allergies, asthma, eczema, and autism. But because these possible outcomes are listed on the manufacturer's insert, the vaccine companies can never be found liable. Studies have shown that the DTP vaccine is killing more people than the disease it was intended to prevent, but the vaccine companies are not liable. The four companies that produce the 72 scheduled vaccines, Merck, Pfizer, Sanofi Pasteur, and GlaxoSmithKline, are all convicted of felony crimes involving falsifying science and defrauding regulators, and killing hundreds of thousands of people. And yet, they continue to make billions off of selling their experimental mandatory vaccines. These same companies are also earning hundreds of billions of dollars by selling medications to treat all the emerging illnesses that have appeared since the increased vaccination schedule. The U.S. has some of the highest infant mortality rates in the world. Scientific studies have shown a direct correlation between infant mortality rates and the amount of vaccines mandated to children. The more doses mandated, the more children died. The United States ranks the highest for the amount of experimental doses of children's vaccines mandated to the public. And the third leading cause of death in America is due to medical errors. Is this science denial, or is this science? Starting in 2016, Bill Gates invested millions into vaccine manufacturer Moderna.
Bill Gates.
With zero profit and no significant clinical data, Moderna went public in 2018, valued at $7.5 billion. In late 2019, Moderna's stocks were falling by 30%. But was soon propped up by Anthony Fauci's NIH to develop a new experimental mRNA vaccine. Traditional vaccines are made up of small doses of a disease-causing organism introduced into the body to provoke an immune system response. mRNA vaccines trick the body into producing some of the vital proteins itself by rewriting the DNA inside a cell. They have never before been implemented. Even though the coronavirus is turning out to be less dangerous than the seasonal flu, the NIH is working with Bill Gates to vaccinate the entire global population with a new experimental type of vaccine that will rewrite our DNA. And no matter how dangerous it turns out to be, Big Pharma will only continue to thrive. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
See, I'd be one of them ones that didn't get the vaccine. I'm not doing it. You know, they're going to force something that ain't safe onto me. I ain't never really believed in getting all the vaccines, you know. I got the ones that they made you get when you were a kid, but so far that's all the ones I've had. Because I really am trying to keep my body where it can fight its own battles. I don't need a government fighting it for me, you know. But here's a piece on the truth, the truth agenda of the World Health.
Having always been accused by staunch American patriots of being a foreign enemy, the United Nations came into existence in October of 1945. And before they even broke ground for their headquarters, Zhiming Zhe, a delegate from the Republic of China, lobbied for the World Health Organization to be created under the auspices of the United Nations. The first director general of the WHO was G. Brock Chisholm, who wrote how parents teaching morality to their own children was a problem that should be remedied by a world government. In 1959, the WHO signed agreement WHA-12-40 with the International Atomic Energy Agency. The agreement between the two parties stated that whenever either organization proposes to initiate a program or activity on a subject in which the other organization has or may have a substantial interest, the first party shall consult the other with a view to adjusting the matter by mutual agreement. And as a result, we have seen the WHO remain silent throughout the Chernobyl incident as well as Fukushima. After serving as the director of health in Hong Kong during the 1997 H5N1 outbreak and the 2003 SARS outbreak, Margaret Chan was harshly criticized by the Hong Kong Legislative Council for not acting swiftly and for parroting mainland propaganda. She was then hired as director to the World Health Organization. In 2007, the WHO began partnering with vaccine manufacturers as well as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And in 2009, Margaret Chan declared the H1N1 influenza virus a pandemic and fast-tracked vaccines as the ultimate solution to world health. The WHO came under international scrutiny for making vaccine manufacturers rich while falsely inflating public fear of viral outbreaks. It appeared as if the WHO was taking orders from Big Pharma and the Gates Foundation. In 2007, as the health minister of Ethiopia, Tedros Adhanom was accused of covering up three separate cholera epidemics. A week later, he was made director of the World Health Organization. In January of 2020, during the COVID-19 outbreak, Tedros praised China for their authoritarian reaction.
The Chinese government is to be congratulated for the extraordinary measures it has taken to contain the outbreak. China is actually setting a new standard for outbreak response, and it's not an exaggeration.
In February, he announced that there is no reason to restrict international travel.
There is no reason for measures that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade.
In March, he suggested that the entire world should imitate the extreme measures carried out in Wuhan.
Wuhan reported no new cases for the first time since the outbreak started. Wuhan provides hope for the rest of the world that even the most severe situation can be turned around.
The WHO has declared that they will need to forcibly remove family members from their homes.
In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Assistant WHO Director Bruce Aylward recently demonstrated the WHO's unwavering loyalty to China when asked if the WHO would consider allowing Taiwan to be a member.
Would the WHO consider Taiwan's membership? Hello?
I couldn't hear your question.
Okay, yeah, let me repeat the question.
No, let's move to another one then.
If you are not beginning to realize the truth of who the World Health Organization really is, then you are not paying attention.
No one should think the government can wave a wand and all of a sudden, you know, the economy is anything like it was before this happened. That awaits either a miracle therapeutic that has an over 95% cure rate or broad usage of the vaccine.
For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Yeah. Stuff like this is endless. They do so much different things. It's hard to keep up with everything that the government deals with, you know. But what can you do about it? Nothing really. But live your American lives and go on amongst yourself or the people in India. I don't know how y'all's government is, but ours is a crazy thing. Crazy, all the politics and stuff, it's just crazy. I never in my life seen people sit and worry about politics like they do today. You know, it's getting so bad that people are starting to wake up and notice things, making them more interested in the news. But what can you do? This is the Scott Jacobs Show. I'm glad everybody tuned in. And I appreciate the ones that keep listening. Y'all are my supporters. Thank you. Y'all really come deep in my heart. I like all my followers. So, I'll try to get tomorrow and do my next show tomorrow. So, everybody have a nice evening.